Today we are going to talk about anwa' al-bid'ah, and we're going to talk about the hadith of kullu bid'atin dalalah. Every innovation is a misguidance. Right, that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to read from Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Imam al-Nawawi, Ibn Abd al-Barr, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami. There's two Ibn Hajars here. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and Imam al-Suyuti. We're going to read from six books. When you hear, always hear, that's an innovation. This is a bid'ah. So you got to pay attention because, well, are all bid'ahs one? So for example, if you go to a community and every single person, after assalamu alaikum, first salah, immediately they shake your hand, taqabbal Allah, every single salah. Well, that's an innovation. Is that an innovation at the same level of believing that Adam evolved? Or are there a gradation of innovations? That's the question we're going to answer. All right, first one. First reading. Let's read the first from Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. In this hadith, the worst of affairs are newly invented affairs. First condition. لَيْسَ لَهُ أَصْلٌ فِي الشَّرَعَ. Does not have any basis in the shara'. So the first thing is, let's define al-muhdath. And Ibn Hajar says here, al-muhdath, that which is considered brand new, and we call that thing that has no origin in the sharia, the technical term for that in sharia is bid'ah. وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ أَصْلٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ الشَّرَعَ فَلَيْسَ بِبِدْعَةٍ. And that which does have an origin in the sharia, it has a root that the sharia points to, would not be considered a bid'ah. So the word bid'ah in sharia is blameworthy. Unlike bid'ah in language, which could be good, right? A bid'ah in language. When we say bid'ah in language, for example, someone innovated a piece of technology. That's fine. Benefited people with it. So in language, linguistically, not a problem. فَإِنَّ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ أُحْدِثَ عَلَى غَيْرِ مِثَالِ يُسَمَى بِدْعَةٍ. Anything that is totally brand new, that there's no connection to it in the past, linguistically we call it a bid'ah, whether it's good or bad. So someone invents a nuclear bomb, he innovated something. Someone created the assembly line, that's also another innovation, or inventing a car or inventing a phone, whatever. So linguistic innovation is anything that's new. So he points to another hadith. He says the definition of this bid'ah is found in Sayyid Aisha's hadith, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه. Whoever innovates something in this affair of ours, meaning in religion, not in technology, not in medicine, not in anything else, in religion, that which is not from it, فهورد, it's rejected. And he says that he went over this in other books and in other chapters. And beware of newly invented matters. Every innovation is a misguidance. These hadith are all similar to one another. He quotes now his imam, because Ibn Hajar is a Shafi'i. He quotes a Shafi'i. Al-bid'atu bid'atan mahmudatun wa madhmumatun. Fama wafaqa sunnah fahuwa mahmud. Wama khalafaha fahuwa madhmum. That which is in line with the sunnah is praiseworthy. Mahmud. That which contradicts the sunnah is blameworthy. So here the great imam, al-Shafi'i, is dividing innovations into two categories. That which is blameworthy and that which is praiseworthy. And how do you judge it? You compare it against the sharia. A very simple example, opening up a Quran school, right? And saying from 9 to 10, you guys review. From 10 to 11, you memorize the new chapters. From 10 to 11, you maybe learn some language so that you can memorize the Quran easier. From 12 to 1, you go and study the Quran again. Who's telling, where did that come from? Things like that. So he says now, let's keep reading. New matters. Things you could say the Sahaba never did it. The Prophet ﷺ never did it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be muhdathat. New matters are of two types. That which is a newly invented matter, but it contradicts the book, the sunnah, the athar, meaning the sayings of the early salaf and the early Muslims. It contradicts it. Or ijma' of the Muslims. That is the bid'ah that leads astray. وَمَا أُحْدِثَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. That which is invented of good. You came up with something new. Like what's his example in Shafi'i's lifetime that he approved of? The additional words to the takbir of Eid. However, he went to Egypt and he found the Egyptians had added to it. So Imam al-Shafi'i, that is an invention. They added words to the takbir that the Prophet ﷺ gave when Shafi'i approved of it. So a Shafi'i himself is saying now that newly invented matter that does not contradict the book, the sunnah, the athar, and the ijma', then that is something that is an invention in the deen that is not blameworthy. And some of the ulama have divided up the bid'ah in action into five categories. That which is permitted, that which is recommended, that which is obligatory, could be obligatory, that like using a mic for salah, they're gathering the Quran in the time of the Sahaba, that bid'ah that is discouraged, and that bid'ah that is forbidden. We're reading Ibn Hajar on bid'ah. So the first bid'ah, as Ibn Hajar is saying here, the first bid'ah was tadween al-hadith, thumma tafsir al-Quran, writing down hadith, writing down the tafsir of the Quran, and these are, and then writing down issues of fiqh and chapterizing them, and then having opinion in matters in which the text is not clear. All these are innovations that came, and you have to in each time assess what is guided from this and what is not. And then a'mal al-qulub, tasawwuf, he's saying basically a'mal al-qulub, the matters of the heart, to write that down. That was not something the Sahaba did. So what is envy? How do we define envy? What are the states of the heart, etc.? So as for the first one, Umar and Abu Musa had issues with much writing down of hadith because they feared error and they feared tasahul, taking it too lightly. But most of the companions, they recognize its values. وَرَخَّصَ فِيهَا الْأَكْثَرُونَ. So here, in every new matter, there is some debate happening here. So when hadith was documented, even Umar ibn Khattab was hesitant because he saw that this thing could go astray. There could be errors here. And there were. We do see that. So now that we're documenting hadith, give it some time. And a whole group of people began lying about the Prophet, peace be upon him. And that's why they were very sloppy about transmitting from the Prophet, peace be upon him. So, alaykum bil hadi al awwal means you have to be extremely cautious about these new matters. And what he's going to say here is take only what is absolutely necessary. Of course, you have to write hadith. It's an absolute necessity, as you have to document the Quran and write that into a book. These things are absolutely necessary. There's no discussion. So, what's in it? What are examples of the categories of innovations? We'll recite here from Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, being cited by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari. أَقْسَامُ الْبِدْعَةِ خَمْسَةِ, the categories of innovations. Remember, we're talking about innovations of actions, not innovations of aqidah. Innovations of aqidah can render you out of Islam altogether, or a heretic and a sect and an innovator where you're a Muslim but your good deeds don't count, or simply wrong, but you're still within Ahl Sunnah and your good deeds count for you, or even permitted. So their bid'ah in aqidah we're not discussing right now. He's talking about bid'ah in actions. And we're citing from Izz ibn Abd al-Salam. And he gives an example of al-bid'ah al-wajibah, an obligatory innovation, something the Prophet and the Sahaba never did. And he says, getting busy learning grammar. Al-ishtighalu bin-nahu, studying grammar. Because only by studying language, vocabulary, and grammar, and sarf, syntax and morphology, can you understand the words of Allah and His Prophet and the Sharia? And upholding the Sharia is an obligation. Preserving the Sharia is an obligation. وَلَا يَتَأَتَّ إِلَّا بِذَلِكَ فَيَكُونُ مِنْ مُقَدِّمَةِ الْوَاجِبِ. So you can't understand the Sharia without understanding Arabic. So the study of Arabic is a fard kifaya on the ummah. It's a communal obligation. Every generation, some people have to preserve the Arabic language and study it and teach it. So that is an example of an obligatory innovation. وَكَذَا شَرْحُ الْغَرِيبِ وَتَدْوِينُ أُصُولِ الْفِقْهِ, you explaining words that are in hadith that are unknown or that are unique or that are not well known. And also documenting the methodology of deriving rulings. And likewise, it's an obligation to separate sound hadiths from unsound hadiths. Okay? Reading here from Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam's five categories of innovations. And an example of the forbidden innovation. مَا رَتَّبَهُ مِنْ خَالَفْ مَنْ خَالَفَ السُّنَّةِ مِنَ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ وَالْمُرْجِئَةِ وَالْمُشَبِّهَةِ. Beliefs, and he actually is now bringing up aqidah. What is forbidden? And this would even be more than forbidden. It would be put you out of Ahl Sunnah. completely. The beliefs of the Qadariya, the beliefs of the Murji'ah, the beliefs of the Mushabbiha, anthropomorphists, or other sects in the history of Islam. And there are some innovations. So he went to the edges, the obligatory and the forbidden, because those are the important ones. Now let's go to the recommended innovation. Wal manduba. Every good deed that didn't happen in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Kal ijtima'i ala tarawih, gathering for tarawih prayer. Building schools, bina al madaris. Wal rabt, and having citadels. And citadels, the citadels where you used to guard the land, and there's been no invading army for years and years and years, they ended up becoming schools, right? They just become schools because the guards have nothing else to do. Wal kalamu fit tasawuf al-mahmud, speaking about the matters of the heart, tasawuf. What is envy? How to get rid of envy? How to draw near to Allah with your heart, etc., etc. Wa aqd majalis al-munadhara in urida bidhalika wajha Allah, and debates. The gatherings where you debate heretics, debate the Shia, debate the Qadariya, debate the Mushabbiha, debate the Christians, if this reward of Allah Ta'ala is sought. In other words, not just for the sake of argumentation. What about that which is mubah? Innovations that are simply permitted. Al-musahafa aqba salat al-subhi wal-asri. Shaking hands, al-musafaha, عقب صلاة الصبح والعصر. And subhanAllah, that's what happens in Tarim. And now you know where they, how far back their usul are. In Tarim, Dar al-Mustafa, they have al-Musafaha, where everybody shakes everyone's hands after Subh and after Asr. They do that in an organized fashion. So he's saying this permitted. والتوسع في المستلذات من أكل وشرب وملبس ومسكن. Having a big home, having a nice car, having nice clothes. It's an innovation. The Sahaba never did this. They didn't go out building nice homes for themselves and eating nice foods. They never went out trying to go, there's a new restaurant, let's go check it out. They never did this. So he says, halal, it's permitted. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ بَعْضُ ذَلِكَ مَكْرُوهًا. And what about the discouraged innovations? Some of this that he's talking about, that is what's considered either recommended or permitted, another person may have a perspective that is makruh. So most of our brothers who would object to certain things like the gatherings of dhikr, the mawalid, the misbaha, all of that is within the differed upon matters of discouraged, permitted, or even recommended innovations. So that's where you will start to realize that a lot of times when we put a stake, you know, what's the phrase? Put our flag down, or, you know, draw a line in the sand. There is some opinion about that, right? There is an opinion about that. And so it's not all... It could be multiple valid opinions. Depending on the situation, they could deem them to both have different perspectives, just like there are different opinions in fiqh.